Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
This is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, brought to you by Get Started Marketing. Business is real simple. You attract, you sell, and you fulfill. And if you're not attracting customers, you will have a problem with that, and Get Started Marketing can help you. I'm excited because I have a founder with me today. I have Braden Ross. There we go. Braden Ross. He's the founder of Plenty of Villas and Mentor BNB. Braden, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and starting off 2021 on the right foot.
Hey, so tell me how you became an entrepreneur, because I always start my show with, we kind of go down one of these two roads, or we end up on the entrepreneurial road, and how did it happen for you?
Yeah, I mean, the whole entrepreneurship thing, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs is you start at an early age. It's something that you want to do, and it's not with everybody. Sometimes people lean into that thing that they want to call entrepreneurship. But I think that more or less for me, it started at 6 years old when I wanted to just start collecting, saving money, selling my Beyblades, Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and anything that I could. And so that kind of evolved, and fast forward, you know, into my early 20s, I was in university, I was in my fourth year of accounting, and realized that I didn't really want to trade places with the person that was teaching me what I need to do next in life. And so at that point, my brother had come to me and he'd showed me this little TV box, and it was an Android TV operating system. And I was like, I love tech, I love real estate, and I want to get into marketing more. So I started to build out this business just using my local Facebook buy and sell communities in a small town that I lived in. I'm in Canada, so city's always pretty much cold 90% of the year. So bundled up and started doing free demos for these things. And I called them Ross Box. It was my last name with the word box with it. Yeah. And went and did that for a good year and a half, and saved up some cash and bought my first apartment. And that was just as I was turning 21, 22. I think I was 22. I can't even remember now. I'm only 26 at the moment. So been in this game heavily and full time for about 4.5 years. You know, did a little bit of everything. I've done social media marketing. I've done cryptocurrencies. I got into Bitcoin in early 2017 when it was like $1,500. And now Bitcoin, everybody wants Bitcoin. And so the thing that really struck me was I wanted to be anywhere at any time and be able to make money. And Airbnb was that thing. I listed my first apartment on Airbnb and realized that I could start using other people's properties to start making money on Airbnb by renting or managing them. And now we operate several thousand Airbnbs with Plenty of Villas. I'm the co-founder of it. One of my students is my other founder. And we partner with hotels and management companies, and we fill up the available days that they're not booked with our own platform, Plenty of Villas, like Airbnb, but for luxury travelers only. And we market them on Airbnb, and we know how to rank up those listings. So we take a percentage as a middleman. And that's where we're at today.
That's amazing. What just amazes me is how, what I love about this show, and I love about entrepreneurship in general, is your idea. I wouldn't think, if you, and this is why I never worry about ideas. Everybody's just so worried about somebody stealing an idea. And I go, that's the least of your worries. Like, if you're even worrying about that, you're not the right person. Because if we had 1 billion ideas and I could start, I wouldn't have come up with that one. Like, it's just, no, I mean, it's just every time I hear an idea, I'm like, well, I could have done that, but never crossed my mind. I've stayed in an Airbnb. I've stayed in a luxury Airbnb. I understand marketing. But that specific idea wouldn't have crossed my mind if I had a billion shots at it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I thought, how can I do this bigger? And I'm like, well, it's like wholesale real estate. Why don't I just go after the buildings that are already doing this and get the more reservations from when they're not booked out? As a marketer, we try to bring people more customers and money. And that's exactly what these platforms have already done, branding themselves with billions of dollars. Airbnb just went public.
That's crazy. And is that why we have this Mentor BNB? Is that company because of that? Or have I messed that up? Tell me a little bit about that, because obviously this is your business and I've got some notes in front of me that mentions that.
Yeah, 100%. So Mentor BNB is my training program. So I've been coaching for the past 2.5 years, ever since I started to use other people's properties. So my second property was a property where I actually went and rented the property off the homeowner. And they allowed me to pay a little bit more rent, but I could Airbnb it out. And I was actually making double what I was paying for rent, which at the time was $1,750. And so
I'm a real estate guy. So I just like my head just like buzzed like 13 times right there.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. Like this, that's why I love the show.
Yeah.
So I have rental property. You do the math in an area and you're like, okay, wait, this person's renting it for 1500. I know that I can get 100 a night. This is, mm-hmm. And I know I can fill it up 25 nights.
Yeah.
There's $1,000 margin right there. I have no out of pocket, nothing. Other than I've got to fill it. And I'm already confident I can do that.
Exactly. And we're not going in guessing. There's sites like AirDNA or BNB Vestor or Mashvisor. And I know I said those quickly, but AirDNA is the most common. And there's a free feature on there. You can punch in an address. It's called Rentalizer. You can punch in any address and it'll tell you how much you'll make with that Airbnb potentially.
What's that website again?
So AirDNA, AirDNA.co.
.co.
Yeah, that's it.
I love it. No, it's just... I mean, I live in one of the nicest cities in America and I own a lot of property and I just have a place down the road I've got that I'm getting ready to turn into like a triplex.
Yep.
And I'm like,
that would be perfect.
There is so many ways to make money. I just had a client and this is why these are 10 minutes until I meet somebody that I'm fascinated by. Then I throw that out the window for in Dublin. Yeah. But I own a construction company and I had this guy who had he owned the same townhouse I had, but in a different side of town, like Ryan Homes, you know, they have like 6 designs.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, and we had the same design and he made all the master bedrooms. He brought us in and we basically created every bedroom was a suite. In other words, it had a bathroom. Wasn't nice. That really hard to do. So he rented it to travel nurses. So I know he's getting $1,500 a room on a 4 bedroom. $1,000 on an $1,800 a month property.
They're at $4,200 profit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I knew it. When I was done, I was like, okay, it hit me and I'm going to do the same thing. So because I'm right where University of Virginia Medical Center is in Martha, I'm where there's 2 massive hospitals. So,
yeah.
You know, nurses are like in plethora here, but it's just, I love that idea. And so Plenty of Villas, is that the luxury end of what you're doing?
Yeah. So, I've done it all. And I've really failed a lot too. And don't get me wrong. We all have. And so I think the biggest thing for me was I wanted to go into a new model where I didn't have to risk as much. I didn't have to qualify for a mortgage. I didn't have to rent a property. I didn't have to manage cleaners. I could just go in and market the available days that they're not booked out and take 15 to 30%. Yeah. And so that's exactly what we do. We start, we start by integrating our systems and our calendars. So we're only marketing whatever's not booked on that exact house, room, whatever it may be. If it's a hotel, they're already zoned. I can't Airbnb in South Beach, Miami, but if I partner with a hotel down there, they're already licensed for it. And they have all those rooms set up just like individual apartments, essentially. So that's what we do. We just partner with them.
Yeah, I love it. I love how there's so many ways to make money. This is that you've kind of figured it out. And I did just a touch later than you, but
yeah.
Once you figure out that life is not a game of checkers, it's a game of chess. And there are so many different ways to move down the board. I mean, checkers is basically linear. You move in this direction. It's like, if you live long enough to make it to the other side of the board, you become a king and you have a little bit more ability to move. But that's the game of life, right? Okay, if I live to here, you know, then maybe I can do a little bit more than I did getting down there, maybe a little faster, if you make it down there. And the odds are very slim that you do.
100%.
Where chess, every piece on the board has value from the second the game starts.
Mm-hmm.
And they all move differently. And that's money. And that's entrepreneurship.
That's a great analogy, actually. I've never heard that one yet.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you get old. You kind of look at that. Because you do. I mean, I figured, like, it's funny. I trained my kids and I said, listen, all my son has a sweatshirt business. He fed 5,000 people last month. He's just turned 20. Because he doesn't care about money because he knows he can make it because he's lived around his dad so long that like money, I don't worry, I can make money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Once you understand how the pieces move down the board, I can make money. Money is like the least thing I'm worrying about making.
Yeah.
And any problem that you have that you can solve with money is not a problem.
That's very good, actually.
Yeah, it's another thing. Yeah, it's another thing that I've learned. So tell me this. So what is the... What would you, you're not old enough to go crazily, but you've been doing it long enough. What do you wish you would have known when you first got started? Like you're 26 now and you're like, okay, it would have been nice to have known that. Or.
Yeah. And my business partner, he's in his mid 40s. So we're a big age difference and he's done a lot more in different businesses, et cetera. But for me personally, I wish I would have been, as entrepreneurs, we're all risk takers. Like, we will take massive risk, and sometimes we miscalculate how much risk we're actually taking. Yeah. And so for me, I wish I would have not taken the model. And for anybody learning, you know, of over leveraging myself with rental properties in terms of things that I didn't own. So I wouldn't just go rent a ton of different apartments or houses and be stuck with that rent. And, you know, things like season, like if you're in a warm country, it might be hurricane season, that'll screw it up. Or COVID-19, you're stuck with leases. Well, now what? You're paying them. And so with master leasing, and that's what we call it, rental arbitrage, where I rent the property, the homeowner gives me permission, I put it on Airbnb. Some people see it as subleasing because there's a guest coming in, but technically that's the Airbnb. And my lawyer said this, he said, it's the Airbnb guest. It's not your guest. They use their platform. So it's almost technically, in a way, not a sublease, which
you're
is weird.
Connecting. You're more of a connector to that.
Yeah.
Introducing the two. But I like the key thing that you're saying, because I agree. I don't think great entrepreneurs like risk in this. And I always say, let's define risk, because this is really the important thing. We're like, we play cards and we're trying to get everything in our favor. We don't take a hit at 17. Yeah. In other words, we know the law of the game better than anybody. And we know, okay, you give us this spread.
Yeah.
And I see all these cards up, all these opportunities. Okay, that is a risk. Now, of course, it could fail, but based on, we're mathematicians is all we are. We look at the odds and we all have a comfort zone. Is it, do we have a 40% chance of success, 60%, 80%? But there's a number in there. And it's related to how much risk and how much time we have to put into it.
100%. I totally agree. And I think obviously with more, you have way more years of wisdom and experience. And I'm starting to understand sometimes, you know, there's a risk point where I want to go to. And sometimes I've crossed that point and I failed, you know, and that's just part of it. And that's why
I've done that. And it's painful.
It sucks. It really sucks. You know, you feel like, oh my God, is this for me? Or do I restart? What am I meant to do? And you always come back to the drawing board. And for me, it's Airbnb. And I do it because it's such a hyper-targeted niche within, like, you know, real estate specifically. I don't do wholesaling or house flipping or any of that. But what I love to do is I love to travel. And so that integrates my lifestyle. I teach it. And I've been able to teach with Ty Lopez as well. He actually brought me up to teach marketing with him. And I pitched the idea to him and his team. And you know, they wanted to show a little bit of Airbnb and how that worked. And so there was a small course and whatnot. And it's been amazing being able to, you know, be around some of these larger entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ty is brilliant, incredible. And anytime you could, but you've mastered, what I always say is this, is that we talk, you know, I do this thing when people talk about like mindset. And I'm like, listen, mindset without skill or talent is worthless. No. You know, you can sit in your chair all day and do affirmations to your blue in the face. You can visualize anything you want. You got to have a skill and or a talent. And you kind of found your little niche. And I always say this, I've made millions of dollars and I haven't done anything. I haven't had a sexy idea yet. My ideas would bore you. And I'm happy to make money having people clean toilets, as long as I don't have to clean them, but I'll make the margin on the person cleaning them.
Yeah.
The whole idea is that you've created that money tree. You've kind of figured it out where, okay, you understand the pieces and you found like this model that works for you. I am telling you, Braden, that is the secret of business. The problem is at times that little system doesn't work because regulations change and things change, and you always got to be forward thinking and try to develop more than one of those.
Yeah.
But that is what I talk about, where you develop a chess piece.
There you go.
You have one. And now you kind of develop a set. But once I kind of figured out, okay, like my thing with service companies, once I figured out, okay, wait, generate demand, hire labor, A does B, there's a split there. If the split is appealing to me, I'm in.
Yeah. It,
very simple business model. I don't have to have any, like you, I don't have to have any inventory. I don't have to have retail space. I don't have to have somebody manning the hours. What you've done in real estate is you've stolen all the good things, because I've done the thing where you buy the house, no money down. Let me just let you know a secret. That's not always great. Okay. You got PMI and insurance that you're going to pay forever. Number two is that you assume the property is going to appreciate every year. Guess what? That doesn't always happen. I'm old enough to tell you they can go negative. Number three is that people don't always take care of your place. They don't always fulfill their lease. There's so many, like I remember in my generation, you know, you buy a house, no money down, you're going to rent it. The property is going to grow faster than, you know, so you're going to make money no matter what, like even if no matter what, it's going to appreciate. I can't tell you how many properties I've had that have not appreciated.
I like that. I like that because a lot of people don't say that.
It's crap. I will not do a real estate deal if I can't make a 50% return on my money in some form or fashion. In other words, if I'm paying $2,000 mortgage, I got to have $3,000 of cash flow. That's the only way I would touch it. I would only buy a property. I put $200 in. I can flip it tomorrow. This is what I tell. I got to be able to flip it tomorrow for $300. Because I'm old enough to know if you don't have those levels of margin, you don't have that good of a deal. You think you do. You have the illusion of it. And I've had tons of commercial real estate. I've had condo developments. I've had it all. And I've seen more crap. And I've had myself, my testicles strapped to chariots running the wrong way than I care to admit. And so I'm jealous. It's like you've extracted this. You've like said, okay, I like this. I like this. I like this. I like this. I take no risk and boom, I make money. I make 15% off of anything where I don't have any risk.
It's crazy. It's real crazy. And I'll give you some numbers on it. I mean, like, let's talk 100 rooms. 100 yeah. rooms at a 4-star luxury boutique hotel. They're going for $200 a night. And, let's say you occupy 50% of those rooms, even 25 or 30%, we use 30% of the rooms. That's 30 rooms times 200. That's $6,000 a night. At 15%, you're making
$900.
There you go. By waking up. And what you're doing is the reservations are already sent over to the team that are at the hotel because they have access to the Airbnb account, plenty of bills, all that stuff. And so you're not having to delegate cleaners or deal with the concierge or any of that. They're doing all that. You're just sending the reservation. And so it's amazing. I have a student who's over 500 properties doing this.
I'm trying to think. I rarely have done this. I want to say maybe I've done it. I don't know. I've interviewed hundreds of people, 300 shows. But I never recommend. I really get involved in courses. But I've only purchased 3 courses in my life and all of them made me money. This is why I tell everybody's everybody's got a course out there. I have a real simple philosophy in courses. Does the person teaching the course, have they done what I want to do better than I could ever do it? Cool. And is there proof that they've succeeded? I bought 3 courses. I bought, 1991. Yeah, I'm old. I bought Carlton Sheets. He was the head of the presidential thing on real estate in the 80s. It was actually pretty well known. He did the deal buy houses, no money down. That has made me $10 million. That course.
That's awesome.
$10 million. No, there's no doubt about it. I listened to it overnight. I was sick on New Year's Eve. Listened to it all night long. Did a deal within that first week and I've rinsed and repeated for 20 some years.
You remember
first course I ever bought. It was 1995 and it was cassettes. Number two, I bought Tony Robbins' Unlimited Power, which was 30 cassettes.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely taught me how to do goals and have the right mindset and kind of let baggage from the past go and stay focused. No doubt about it. Tony's course was great. Number three is I bought a course by Brian Tracy on how to write a book, and my fourth book's getting published in the next month. I've only bought 3 courses.
That's amazing.
In my life, and all 3 have done pretty well. And what I tell people is, hey, courses are great if you're willing to listen to it, apply it, and the person teaching it is legit.
He's doing it.
They condense all their knowledge into this, and they tell you all the stumbling blocks, like, don't do this. Don't do this. That's worth millions. That's what I tell people. If I just told you what not to do, you should pay me $1 million.
Exactly. I'm teaching you my failures and my successes.
Exactly. So
I like that.
Yeah, it's true. And people be like this. I go, forget it. I'm going to tell you what I wouldn't do again. I mean, I can tell you what to do. And this is what I get concerned with the younger mentors, 21. My son's young too. And at 20, you know something at 20, but what makes you scary as hell is you don't know what you don't know yet. I want a few failures under there.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a failure or two. And I'm a little bit more I believe in proteges and young talents and the young Tiger Woods and all that. And I believe it's that way in business.
Yeah.
But there ain't a lot of Tiger Woods out there, people. There ain't a lot of LeBron. So it's going to take a little bit to convince me.
I know everybody's trying to compare themselves to Elon or Zuck. And it's just there's only a few of those guys out of the billions.
This is what I give this illustration, Brain. I say I've had very average business ideas, but I've maximized it, made me a lot of money.
Totally.
If you want to be Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg, and Mark's idea is incredible. Elon, I believe his personal genius is at just a level that is you're talking about a generational brilliance.
Yeah. 100%.
The smartest guy in every room he's ever been in. that, just so you know, that kind of smart. If you took pennies and you ran them from Miami all the way to Seattle and you got to mark one penny with a Sharpie marker, go try to pick that penny up. You get one chance. That's Elon Musk idea. In other words, it's so far beyond the rail. I mean, the, you know what I mean? I'm saying, why don't we just go to Mars?
Right.
You know, I mean, we don't even have the audacity, but I absolutely believe when it hit him, he was like, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this. Yeah. I really believe by the end of the day that he came up with the idea, it wasn't that far-fetched from him. He already had this sketched out on a legal path. All right, we get NASA involved because they're paying too damn much. And we,
it's crazy. It actually is crazy. When you lay it out like that with that analogy of the pennies, I think that, yeah, Elon, you listen to him talk and he's just so calm. And it's like he's thinking of a million things when somebody's asking him a question. But right now, it's a 1 in 8 billion or 1 in 7 billion, whatever it may be. You know, there's not many of them.
I go, if I had to wait for that idea to start a business, I'd have never started a business. So I'm going to have to start with my smaller ones, but they worked out okay.
You've done just fine. I mean, there's levels to this game, right? Like there is.
And I was thinking, you know, it's funny that you said that because I was thinking about that yesterday. You know, you watch the Grant Cardones and guys at that. And I look at the speed of which they're doing things and where they're at. And I'm like, maybe it's me. I really don't want to. I've never wanted to work that hard. I've always wanted to like get up, have breakfast with my kids before they go to school.
Yeah.
Go work for about 4 to 5 hours, make, you know, a million, half a million. I always wanted to make more than the president because I just thought that was kind of cocky.
Yeah. Like
the president makes 400. So that was always my standard. Like I'm going to make more than the president. Then I'm going to go play golf, maybe a little tennis this afternoon. I'm not opposed to an afternoon nap.
I like that.
You know what I mean? I'm going to be home for dinner because I love having dinner with my kids.
Yeah.
And I'll fiddle off in my office for like an hour, but I never had the desire to, you know, and I'm like, is that okay? Because I don't necessarily need a 9-figure business to make my.
No, of course. I mean, you've done well enough. I mean, for you to go to nine, what would prompt you to go to 9 figures? What is that if you were to do it?
And I would have to redo everything. And the funny thing is, there's nothing that this is the thing where I look at it. There's nothing that other than maybe a private jet. And to be frank, I mean, I've been on a private jet.
Yeah.
I buying first class at 7% of the cost. Maybe I'm cheap, but I'm not opposed to that. Right. It's like, I can fly first class for 7% of a private jet. I live 1.5 miles from an airport.
Yeah.
Like, so I, to me, like in my life, I'm like, I don't fly that much. I've flown private. It's nice. I fly in first class. There was not a difference. To be honest with you, the seat in first class was a little bit wider and I had somebody serving me.
That's just it. And you know, it's all about, you know, showmanship and convenience and all these things, but I think it really depends on your situation. And you know, GC Grant Cardone, you know, he bought the jet because he's always flying around.
And it works for him. I'm not criticizing anybody, and everybody has certain level. It came up to me because you said it best. You said there's different levels of this game, and you're right.
Yeah.
And I, you know, my level was I wanted to make more money than the president, but time was my number one thing I wanted.
I love that. Yeah.
My dad worked 100 hours a week. I never saw him. He was always, when he was home, he was pissed off or tired.
Of course.
Right?
Of course he was, yeah.
I said, that's not going to be me. I'm never going to miss a kid's. I've never, ever missed a kid, one of my children's events, ever, because that's of work, crazy. Period. Never.
Have you kept that standard from like, I'm going to play golf, take a nap, take my kids to
day
school?
One. This is a really? Funny thing. I interviewed for a job, and this is when it hit me, because my friend, who's one of my dearest friends and business partners since high school,
yeah,
he's still working for this guy. This guy sold one of his companies for $151 million. Jesus. He interviewed me like 25 years ago to work for him. Cause I mean, honestly, I'm a hammer. You spend 15 minutes with me and you know, I can get the ball across the goal line. Yeah. So I'm interviewing with this guy 5:45 in the morning. Never forget this. He had cufflinks on so big, they look like rocks. He had a Rolex on so big. I don't even know how he lifted up his hand. And he had suit on, starch, whatever. He was so rich, he had a private rabbi just to tell him he was okay. I'm not exaggerating. This story is dead truth, every ounce of it. He's hitting buttons on his phone. This is when you had the old speaker phones. And he's looking in the parking lot, he's looking out the window, and he's cursing out every single employee, which was basically insurance reps that work for him, on why they suck because they're not in at 5:45 in the morning. It's like, John, you mother, it's 5:57. This is why your ASS doesn't make a dime. He's going through every one of them while he's interviewing. Now, he's interviewing me at the same time. So he calls me at the end of the day. Hey, Sean, we're excited for you to come aboard. And I'm like, listen, it's probably not the best fit. This guy's never heard no in his life. My friend stayed there and he jokes because he came and spent like a weekend with me.
Yeah.
He goes, you have the most calmest life in the world. And I said, because when I interviewed for that maniac that you tied your balls to 25 years ago, could you not see the writing? He goes, yeah, he goes, he's had 3 strokes.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? A heart attack.
The money ain't worth it.
That's my whole point. I saw it when I was in that interview. I was like, wait, if this is the finish line, I got it. Really, this whole conversation spurred from what you said. There's different levels of the game, and that level wasn't worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just see that. And a lot of guys and whether you follow Gary Vee or whatever, I listen to some of all these guys and they say, I've got friends that are, Facebook IPO, guys that are worth $100 million versus the dad who makes 75 grand. I'm not saying I want to make 75 grand a year. I do want to make more money.
Yeah.
As you said, at least 400, 500 grand a year type thing.
Yeah.
More than the president. But at the same time, and I have friends, even my age, that work nonstop. And for me, like, I took the whole day off and I went skating in the middle of the mountains on a frozen pond all day yesterday. And that's what I love.
Listen to me. I could be on the Olympic nap team. I love a 20-minute cat nap. I love – this is kind of a bonus for you all out there. I was studying kids with that were won the spelling bee. These are the smartest kids. If you want to know who the really brilliant kids are, watch a spelling bee because I wouldn't make it past the introduction. They'd be introducing me. I might spell my name wrong. They got to spot me a vowel on Sean. But these are the most brilliant kids. And they did an interview with them and they tried to find out like what consistent quality did all these brilliant kids have? There was only one thing. This blew me away. And I adopted this into my parent. That's why I have 2 amazing kids. Yeah, they eat dinner at the same time every night as a family. That was it. That was of every quality. It wasn't education. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. It wasn't nationality.
Crazy.
It was they ate dinner as a family every night. And I adopted that. And I'm like, no, I will be home. We will eat dinner. We eat at dinner at the same time within 15 minutes. I had a college kid live with me for the last 3 years. And I said, what surprised you? He goes, it surprises me how much you guys read. It surprises me how much you guys like dinner time is 6:40. Like clock 6:30 to 6:45. He said, you can bet your life on it. He goes, you ain't always cooking it. It could be getting delivered. It could be a chef. It could be whatever. He goes, but you guys eat dinner at the same time, like clockwork. He said, that was the 2 things that just that I didn't expect is how much you all read.
Yeah.
There's books everywhere in your house and you guys are always like reading. And he goes, you look like you're never working, but you're always working. He said, like, you're never doing any, like, you're never, like, you work in these little spurts, but he goes, I know how many things you're responsible for. He goes, like, it just blows me away that you can compartmentalize. And just, like, shut it down, go play tennis for an hour, shut it down, go play. I don't play 18 holes of golf. I play 9 holes.
Yeah.
Like, I make them little modifications. 18 holes is a waste of a day. I'm not going to waste a day every week.
Yeah. No, I get it. And then I get it. And that's awesome. You're like that because one thing that I struggle with is, and I'm learning is starting to delegate and build teams and not be so much a foot soldier, but a general like you.
I would delegate, Braden. I would delegate a bowel movement if somebody would wipe my ass clean enough. I mean that. And I'd probably say a curse word once a year on this podcast, but that joke would not have been funny if I said it any other way. But it's true. I have learned. I delegate everything but the few things that I absolutely am a genius at, that I can do it faster than you, better than you, and it ain't even close. I mean, that's the rule. It literally has to be that finite that when I do it, you're like, wow, man, he is like, you want Sean to do that, but don't let him touch anything else.
I love that. I love that. And I guess just from you, I mean, I'm not trying to interview you, but I'm curious because at what point did you feel like you finally had some sort of automation, not automation, but time, more time for yourself and your business? How many years?
One thing that I learned early was partnering in business. My philosophy in my new book that I'm actually doing a draft of right now, it's called 1+1=Done. I learned early that I'd rather have 50% of a lot and share the responsibility and share the workload than be responsible for everything. So, you know, being an athlete, I've always been a team guy. And I think very early on, I stumbled upon that, thankfully.
Yeah.
And it dictated, it has made my business career really much more enjoyable.
I like that. I really like that because I think a lot of people, even myself in my earlier times when I was getting started, I just wanted to do everything myself. And a lot of entrepreneurs do that.
Yeah.
And you burn out and you suck at certain things and you just,
you can't rinse and repeat. This is the biggest problem. You trap yourself to one business. I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, so I was going to take advantage of multiple opportunities.
Yeah.
And if I strap myself to any one business completely, if it's a $1 billion business, that's fine. But even Microsoft, they buy they bought like 130 companies. Okay. If you think Microsoft is it, no. They buy up companies, you know, like you and I go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
So you look at Bill Gates. Well, he bought Microsoft. They're highly entrepreneurial. Great companies are Google buys up companies. You know, they all buy up companies. So they do the same thing. And my point is, if I got strapped to one, then I was just, I didn't want to be shackled to just one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And I'm learning that this year. My biggest thing is teams, and we've just started to hire out with plenty of villas and all that. I mean, we don't have really any overhead with properties. Like, we're not paying for rent and all that, like I said, or a mortgage. So we're labor intensive, especially when it comes to creating a seamless line of lean. When it comes to pushing our reservations through. So
yeah. I'll give you two quick things on hiring that'll save you a bunch of aggravation. I just told, because my son has a company and I've told him this. Number one is they don't get better after 30 days. You think they do. If you have an employee that sucks in the first 30 days and you're hopeful, cut them loose.
Okay.
Now expanding their job description, but brilliance, you'll notice quick. Employees that are great, you'll notice in the first 30 days, they don't get better. I can't explain it to you. Like, greatness may get better, but suck. An employee that's bad does not get better. Because if you think in the first 30 days, they're trying to win you over and show you that they're valuable. So if they're not better in the first 30 days, I'm just telling you this, they never get better. Number two is this. Be able to identify what a superstar looks like. That is, if you have any skill, when you have the ability to interview someone and you know you have a game changer in front of you, the ability to identify that person, because they're like identifying one-eyed leprechauns, but they'll move the needle faster than anything. There's nothing you can do in a company better than hiring a superstar. Nothing, period. Other than your founding idea, there is simply not one thing. Look at it. Mark Zuckerberg with Sandberg. He doesn't hire her. Facebook doesn't make any money. It's not the company it is.
It's true. She's changed.
Okay. It's always that critical hire, and you can never overpay them. It'll scare you what you need to pay to get them. You may have to give them a little piece of ownership, but I'm telling you, when you're sitting in front of a superstar, hire them. And looking for superstars.
How do you know who's a superstar?
You'll know because they'll intimidate you. You'll sit there and you go, I don't want them to work for my competition. I don't want this person to have their own company. They know something in an area of your weakness or an area of opportunity that you can't take advantage of because they have it, Zuckerberg and Sandberg.
Yeah.
It's the 1+1=Done. And it's that same way with employees. You're interviewing somebody that you're sitting there going, okay, this is a different level.
You just know.
Know they have an it factor.
Yeah.
You just know. And I think that the one thing I think that I've made tons of mistakes, but I've been able to identify what a superstar looks like, and I don't let them get out of the building.
I like that. A lot of people look great on paper and they like to talk big game, but a lot of them don't show up for what they talk about.
And that's why I like trial periods. And because in the first 30 days, I'll know. In the first 30 days, I will know. I can't explain it. I will know if you suck.
Yeah.
And I will know if I'm so grateful to have you. I'll know one of the two in first 30 days.
what do you find, for yourself, what do you find is like, I'm asking you so many questions, but what do you find is like, the average, like of people that you feel isn't worth it in the first 30 days versus is?
I mean, I think one out of every four that you hire, I think 25% blow hard, or they have a good interview, but they're just not. What I'm saying is, I view somebody like this. If I've got to tell you what to do, remind you to do it, then I have to go back behind you to see if you did it. Any of those three, I don't want you working for me.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
So I got to re-explain the job to you. I got to remind you to do it. Then I got to go behind you at some point. They're my three. If that's it, you're done.
Can you say those again? I'm going to write them down too.
Yeah, no, this is what I've learned. First, I got to tell you repeatedly what your job is, what you're responsible to do. So I'm making your to-do list for you.
Yep.
Number two is I got to tell you how to do it. You know, you're always like, well, I know you want me to do this, John, but how do you want me to do it? I don't mind doing that maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
Number three is I got to go behind you to see if you did it, because I'm not sure if you did it. I'm not sure how good you did it. Any of those three, you're gone, because you've strapped me to your job. I can never let you be autonomous. An employee has to be autonomous to have value to entrepreneurs. We don't have time to babysit.
No micromanage, exactly.
No, there's no micromanaging in me.
I agree 100%. Having, you know, freedom to be able to do and grow. And, you know, Facebook's one of those companies that allows some of their employees to be very autonomous. And I love that. I remember doing
20%. They're supposed to spend 20% of their time. And, you know, I mean, Google, 20% of their time is supposed to be working on something just completely that they're excited about, that they think might help Google. And that now they have Gmail. That's how there Gmail came about. Yeah. Hey, Braden, I want to thank you. I'm sorry for chatting so long, but it was just fun. I felt like I was in one of my mentoring calls with one of my clients.
I feel like I was getting mentored.
Yeah, you got a little bonus. How can people connect with you and your course? Anything you have, you get the floor here for a minute.
Yeah, I don't plug for too long, but my Instagram is Mr. Airbnb. I go figure. So just MRAIRBNB. And I do have a program. It's called BNB PhD. It's an 8-week course, and it goes through step by step everything I'm teaching you. So how to own property and do Airbnb, how to do rental arbitrage, master leasing, how to manage properties, and how to even partner with hotels and management companies, and showing you all the different strategies, systems, the draft contract examples, the scripts that I actually use, how to land these properties step by step. Top student actually just passed 500 properties using the hotel method. So yeah, if you're interested, it's $1,000 like most programs. I'm going to be pushing that price actually up to $3,000 because I'm going to be adding more content. And realistically, the reason why I'm doing that is I just want like the right people coming through. Like you said, a lot of people, you know, they talk big game, but you can't force somebody to do the work. And I find that, you know, somebody who's willing to pay a little bit more.
I'm 1,000%. I believe it. I tell people like when they want to be mentored, I said, it's more than whatever you're thinking, add a zero.
Yeah, whatever, there you go.
Whatever you're thinking, just add a zero to it. We're probably somewhere in the neighborhood of what it's going to cost to get my time. Because I think courses are the future of education. I love them because they're hyper focused on how to get something done. You eliminate all the nonsense. I'm a fanatic about it. Braden, it has been so great. I've had Braden Ross as my guest today, and he told you how to connect, and everything will be in the show notes. And Braden, I just want to thank you for being on the podcast.
Can't wait to listen to this one.
No, it's going to be great. Hey, this is the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, where you get so much so fast, where we equip, encourage, educate entrepreneurs. And it's brought to you by Get Started Marketing. If you need more customers, reach out to them. Again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast.